Investing Simplified is brought to you by Chuck Price, President and Wealth Manager of Price Financial Group, Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm. Individual situations will vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management. Chuck can be contacted by visiting www.pfgwm.com. You can email Chuck a question at askchuck@pfgwm.com, or you can call him right now at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Chuck Price.
We do Investing Simplified.
Well, good morning, Portland, Oregon, the great Northwest, and everybody around the country who's listening to us on podcast at freedom970.com. We welcome you, and we welcome your calls this morning at 503-417-7626 or toll-free 800-990-0750. In studio with me, Carl Jepson with the Warren Allen Law Firm.
Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Carl. And Kevin Stege with the Baker Coastal CPA Firm.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Well, we're going to have an exciting show today, and we've been telling you for 3 or 4 weeks now that we're going to have, as a guest on our show today, Rodney Johnson, who's co-editor with Harry Dent on the free newsletter Economy and Markets Daily. And I have clients all the time telling me how they enjoy reading this every day. They read it and actually enjoy the comments that Rodney and Harry and their staff provide. And I would highly recommend, if you don't have it, you can go to harrydent.com, sign up for it, or you can also get it on my site. And so we also have Rodney Johnson on, like I mentioned. And Rodney, are you on the line? Well, we've not got Rodney yet. So we will be having Rodney Johnson on the air with us answering questions. This is an opportunity for you to call in and ask a question of somebody who is with an organization that is renowned as economist, and talking about what's going on in the market and what's going to happen in the future in the market. So this is a great opportunity, and I've had numerous people email me after the shows or call me after the shows and ask me a question. I say, listen, call in when we have Rodney here, and you can ask a question, or Harry, you can ask a question of him. And do you see anything there? Okay. Well, we're still waiting for him. While we're waiting for him, I'm gonna go ahead and give a quick stock report and tell Rodney gets on here so you can kind of know what's happening in the economy. The market closed on July 17th, 2015. The Dow Jones closed. Ah, we got Rodney there. Rodney, are you there?
Morning, Chuck. Can
Hi,
you hear
good
me?
Morning, Rodney. Hey, I've got in studio with me Carl Jepson, attorney, estate planning attorney, and Kevin Stege with the Baker Coastal CPA firm. So we welcome you to Portland, Oregon.
Well, thank you all.
Yeah, even though you're not here physically, you're here mentally, right?
I'll go with that. I'm not sure what it means, but yes, I am.
Well, that's great. That's great. Well, listen, we probably got weather equivalent to what you have down there. Are you in Tampa?
I thought that it was kind of warm and sticky up there.
Well, we're going to be about 91 today.
Oh, yeah. That's where we are every day. Every day it starts at 80 and goes to 90, and there's 90% humidity with a big chance of rain.
Well, you had to throw that little every day in there. We get this once in a while, and we have to be very happy when we get it.
There you go.
Well, listen, there's a lot of stuff going on in the economy. And the first thing I have to ask you, though, absolutely have to ask you, because I had two of my friends contact me, and they wanted to know, is the third annual Irrational Economic Summit, is that totally filled?
I don't think it's totally filled, although I know it's quite close. We've had a lot of people certainly interested as the markets went back and forth over the last couple of weeks with everything going on in China and Greece. People are looking for some good analysis and some answers. And so there have been a lot of people signing up, but I think there are a few spots left.
Well, I've got a good buddy of mine in California, and another one in New Orleans that I was talking to on the phone yesterday, and both of them were asking me, and I said, you know, the stuff I've seen, it looks like to me it's full, but I would let them know so they could maybe get to it.
I'll tell them to sign up quick, because I know the slots are filling up.
Okay. Well, listen, yeah, and looking at that, you guys have another just totally packed house of who you're going to have talking. Really some top-notch people.
Yeah, we're pretty excited. I mean, David Stopman's going to be back. He was our headliner last year. This year, we're also bringing in John Kilduff, who's an energy expert that we had back in 2008 when oil peaked back then. Everybody remembers it, $140 a barrel. And we also have P.J. O'Rourke, who's more of a social political commentator. And as we gear up for the 2016 election cycle, seems like a good time to have somebody like him kick us off and tell us what's going on.
Yeah, I can hardly wait. I'm really excited about being there. It's going to be I know it's going to be a terrific meeting, and everyone that you've had. Well, this will be the third. The first two were just dynamite.
Well, thank you.
So
that's going to
be absolutely great. Well, listen, let's get right into it. I got to ask you a question, and I didn't see anything in the commentary that went out, but the other day when the president spoke and said that he created 2.8 million jobs, most jobs created in yada yada yada, long time. That's really amazing to me, because all the statistics I see right now is percentage wise, there's less Americans working than there have been in 37 years. And the average income, as Kevin told us here in a report here a few months ago, on talking about the incomes of people, actually over the last 6 years, incomes of the average family are down. They're not up.
Right. I think what the president was referring to is, you know, he came into office obviously in 2009, and so there had obviously already been some tremendous job losses there at the end of 08. And so there are physically, or percentage-wise, we have lower unemployment, so we do have some jobs created, but the labor force participation rate is falling. And that's a weird one, Chuck, and I know that you know, people want to point at that and say, well, clearly that's a problem. I agree in one sense that I know that there are about 5 million people between 25 and 55 who should be working. I don't know what they've chosen to do, but they've checked out of the economy. That's, I mean, 5 million is a big number. It's about 3% of the workforce. But a lot of that labor force participation rate declining is actually the boomers retiring. And that's something we're going to have to look at and deal with for many years to come. And so it's one of those weird numbers that we have to kind of keep track of both pieces there. So the wage thing is much more of a problem in my view. In terms of household income, I was just doing this calculation the other day. We don't have the final numbers for 2014 yet. Imagine that. The government kind of runs behind. But in 2013, it was $51,939, and it was still about 7% below the level in the year 2000. I mean, it had gotten almost back up to the year 2000's peak by 2007, 2008, and then it dropped again, and it's kind of walking along this bottom level here and just not making any headway. And if your households aren't making more money, how are they going to spend more money? Those two things just don't go together.
Well, yeah, and plus add the fact that one of the favorite words of you and Harry Dent and all of us who follow you guys is the demographic picture. Because the demographic picture is as some 10,000 are turning 62 every single day. The fact is that as people get older, what they don't do, and as Harry likes to state about, you know, when a person buys their last car, I was quoting a person yesterday, and she said, wow, you know, I was thinking about buying my car, and I'm 60 years old. And I said, well, that's about the time the average person buys their last new car. And that's
well,
what's
exactly
happening.
Your spending tends to not necessarily go down dramatically. Everybody, when we tell people that, you know, consumers tend to spend less in their empty nester years and their retirement years, they immediately look at their own situation and say, well, gee, I don't think I'm spending less. I kind of think it's gone sideways. They're not growing their spending, and they're not spending on credit. And that's the big multiplier in the economy. The person you were speaking to is probably not going to finance that car. They're probably going to write a check for it. And if they're not borrowing more money to spend on an asset like that, then they're not supercharging the economy. And so that's the decline. That's the big thing that we have to look at, is the amount of debt that goes out the door for that type of spending. And you've got this barbell effect where you have the boomers at one end who have a lot of income, they have saved assets, they are the people in the good jobs. At the other end of this barbell are all the millennials who would like to be in good jobs, they'd like to have more assets and income, but frankly, they can't really get a foothold. And so they're not growing their spending dramatically yet. And until they do, we're basically going to be at a standstill with kind of a stagnant economy.
Well, I thought it was very interesting because the car companies are reporting record sales and large number of sales, but it's exactly what you're saying is that the seniors who are buying cars are buying them with cash. They're buying they're putting money back in the economy by buying the car, but the car sales are totally fake if they're looking at continuing that trend upward, because eventually the trend's going to go the other way.
Well, and unfortunately, a lot of the car sales right now are to millennials who they're not buying homes, they're not starting families, but they are buying cars, and they're getting subprime loans to do it. And so they're financing a car over 7 or 8 years, which is just heartbreaking to see somebody finance a car over 7 or 8 years, because typically a car's life, while it may be 10 or 11 years, the asset declines in value much faster than you pay off the loan. And so you're basically underwater for most of that loan, which is a terrible position to be in.
The only problem is some of those cars now cost more than the average home cost when most of the baby boomers were buying their first home. And those new cars cost way more than they did for a house.
Isn't that amazing?
I mean,
my sister just bought a new GM Tahoe, and it was $65,000. I look at that and I think, really, for a Tahoe? It's amazing to me that they cost so much.
Wow! I hope she has a lot of gas tank reserves.
She is in Texas, where they make a lot of gas.
Ah, well, there you go. They got no problem at all. Well, listen, what do you think about what this deal with Greece is going to end up being?
I don't think the deal with Greece is going to last for very long. The Greeks have other issues, which everyone's pointing out. They have not implemented any of the most of the program. Let's go with that. They haven't implemented most of the changes that they would need to help their economy grow in a way so that they have a surplus that they can pay off their debt. And so they haven't put in the pension reforms yet. They haven't put in the tax reforms yet. They haven't put in the social spending changes yet, or the employment changes when you can hire and fire and that sort of thing. And so they got a lot of people who evade taxes. They don't have a very flexible employment structure where you can hire and fire as you need to. And they have a lot of pensioners who are saying, look, you owe me the money. We made this deal. And if they didn't do it on the first bailout and they didn't do it on the second bailout, I'm struggling to see why people would believe they would do it on the third bailout. And so it appears to me they're going to go down the same road they've been before, where they kind of push it out a little bit, and in about 8 months or a year, they go, wow, we really can't pay all this debt. And it doesn't get written off in the normal terms. That's kind of the thing that I think people are missing, is when you and I think of writing off a debt, we think, wow, we owe $10,000 today. Tomorrow they say, okay, you only owe $6,000. What's happened in Greece already is they said, okay, you owe, let's call it $150 billion with a B, that you have to pay us in the next 10 years, well, let's instead string those payments out to 40 years so you're making smaller payments over time. They don't reduce the amount you have to pay of the $150 billion, but they say you can string it over many more years and at a lower interest rate so that your monthly payment is less. And I think that's going to happen yet again. Maybe they string it over 60 years or maybe even 100 years, or maybe they put the interest rate to zero. But what they're trying to do is keep the principal balance the same, so it looks like they didn't do anything, and yet allow Greece to pay a lower number over the years outstanding.
Well, isn't that exactly what we're doing with the HARP program, with people who are underwater on their home and extending the loan from a 20-year or 25 or 30-year to a 40-year?
Oh, yeah, that's exactly the same.
It's insane.
Yeah, you're trying to make it affordable over time, but it does nothing to alleviate the anchor. And if you're underwater on a home and you're paying a smaller monthly on it just because you extended it out, you're still underwater. Hasn't changed that at all. If you tried to leave the house, if you needed to move across the country or, you know, across town for a job, you're still underwater on the loan. Doesn't change it.
Well, Rodney, we're doing a little syndication thing on our show, so we need to take a quick break. We're going to be run a couple of things here for a couple of minutes. We'll be right back with you. And when we come back, I want to talk to you about Spain and about Germany.
Sounds good.
Okay, we'll be right back on Investing Simplified. Listen, if you want to call and ask Rodney a question, this is your opportunity. 503-417-7626. Toll free, 800-990-0750. We'll be right back with Investing Simplified.
The time to stop working is approaching, or maybe it's already arrived. CDs and money markets are paying only fractions of a point. How secure do you feel about retiring right now? Call Chuck Price. He's located right here in Portland, and he can show you how to increase your Social Security up to 67% using specific program rules and the file and suspend strategy. Chuck specializes in working with people who are either retired or are close to retiring, and he focuses on how to never run out of money during retirement. Do this today. Schedule a free 20-minute retirement plan phone consultation or schedule an appointment with Chuck himself. Call 503-253-3000. That's 503-253-3000. Chuck Price at Price Financial Group Wealth Management. On the web at pfgwm.com.
We do investing simplified.
Hi, everybody. Chuck Price, the financial doctor here. If you're between ages 58 and 68, choosing Social Security benefits at the right time is one of the biggest financial decisions you'll ever make. You get one chance to get it right. After 12 months, there are no do-overs. 74% of Americans receive reduced benefits. Get your free report on 44 Social Security secrets at pfgwm.com. Social Security is often one of the largest and most mismanaged assets in your retirement income plan. Claiming benefits sounds easy. So is leaving up to $250,000 of your money with the government, or reducing your benefits up to 76% over your life expectancy. For this vital information, go online to pfgwm.com. Or call 503-253-3000.
We do investing simplified. We do investing simplified.
When you have questions about your health, you go to a doctor, right? But when it comes to your financial health, like what investments will give you the best return, why are you talking to your spouse's cousin Lou? You need Chuck Price, the financial doctor. Chuck Price knows investing is not a one-size-fits-all approach. It's about what's best for your financial health. Sure, investing can be complex, but like your medical doctor, Chuck Price makes the complex simple, so you understand exactly what you're doing and why you're doing it. Sign up for our free newsletter and see our free videos at AskTheFinancialDoctor.com or call 503-253-3000 and make an appointment for a free financial checkup. We'll give you the facts and our honest advice. Then make your own decision. Nothing against your spouse's cousin Lou, but we've been helping people for over 40 years.
We do investing simplified.
Chuck Price, the financial doctor. Call 503-253-3000.
Price Financial Group. Okay, we're back with Rodney Johnson, co-editor with Harry Dent. And a newsletter, free newsletter that is offered on our website, and also an author himself. And Rodney, when we left the air, I asked you about Spain and about Germany.
Yes, and I was we had actually started with the demographics in the United States as well, and demographics in Germany are the thing that interests me a lot because their demographics are actually worse than those in Greece or really anywhere else in the Eurozone. And so the country that is perceived to be the strong man of the area is really making its money by exporting to other countries because their own demographics are leading them off a cliff. They just don't have enough kids coming along to grow their own economy.
Well, I actually had a client here a couple of years ago move back to Germany because of the pension benefits he was getting. And moved back there because of the health care and the medical benefits and pension he would receive by moving back to Germany.
Well, it's certainly very generous. And they built all of that, of course, 25 years ago when they were rejoining the reunification of East and West Germany. And they held wages very low, really through 2004, 2005. But they built up the social benefit side of what workers would earn. And so they have a social compact with the workers, with the businesses, and the government that seems to work for them. It would be hard to export that because they have a sense of shared sacrifice that doesn't appear in many other places. The real problem, though, of course, is how are they going to pay for it, not in the next 3 years or 5 years, but in the next 20 years when they just don't have young workers coming along? It's going to have to be through immigration of new workers coming to Germany to fill those slots that are vacated. But if they weren't educated in Germany, if they didn't come through that Mittelstand program of training people in vocations, then how are they going to be prepared for the work required? And so far, Germany or no one else has an answer.
Well, and I understand that Spain has a very similar problem to us, where they have a very high unemployment among their young people.
Well, theirs is much higher than ours, for sure. Theirs is, I believe, only second to Greece. In Greece, you have just over 50% of those 25 and younger unemployed, those who are working, 19 to 25. And in Spain, I believe the number is just under 25%. Now, it might be half of Greece's number, but when you have one in four people, 19 to 25 unemployed, that's a real problem. Spain's problem is magnified because they had a building boom, just like many of the Mediterranean countries did, as money flowed into their banks from other countries, and then it was lent back out to people who were speculating on property. But over the last 6 years, they've done a lot to pull back in their social spending, and they've recapitalized their banks, but they haven't done much to get rid of the debt. So they have this debt overhang that's still with them, that they haven't been able to figure out what to do with it. And so the Spaniards are a great example of someone who's, or a country that's done all the things asked of them in terms of a bailout, but haven't been able to get ahead of the debt that's still hanging over them from the property boom.
Well, Rodney, one of the things that I have some curiosity about, and I'm sure you'd have a better look at it than I would, and I have certain feelings about the deal with Iran from just a philosophical standpoint, I'll say. But they talk about a fairly significant economic impact beneficial to Iran by lifting the sanctions and other things. But I'm curious, did we, the United States, did we get anything out of that deal from an economic standpoint?
Well, we get a little bit. Well, sure. But let's start there. We're a big exporter. And so we export a lot of equipment. And one of the big sanctions, two of the big sanctions on Iran, is the inability for them to import equipment for refining and for aviation, two things that we're pretty darn good at. And so what's occurred in Iran, oddly, is they pump 3 million barrels of oil a day, but they have to import gasoline, because they can't refine it because they don't do a very good job of it, and they can't upgrade their refineries because we won't let them bring in the parts, and kind of goes on. And Iranian planes have a nasty habit of falling out of the sky because the maintenance on them is so poor, because we've got this big ban on taking in aviation parts. And so from that standpoint, we're probably going to benefit on the private sector side by exporting to Iran things that we couldn't before. But I'm right there with you, Carl. I look at this deal with Iran, and it's like, well, let's review. They say, you know, they want death to some of our allies. They have an annual day where they chant death to America, which they just had in the past few weeks. They have never held to any sanction or any inspection that we've asked for before, but this time it's going to be different. I struggle with that. You know, I don't believe it out of kids when I hear it from them. Why would I believe it out of the Iranians? And so I look at this and I just scratch my head as to what exactly is going to happen, except we're going to strengthen a group that supports a lot of people we don't particularly care for. I mean, it's not just the Iranians that are going to benefit from this deal. They're going to take their $150 billion with a B, of assets that we've had frozen for years, and they're going to use it to support groups around the world that we're trying to fight. And so it just doesn't make a lot of sense. In addition to that, people have pointed out that, hey, they can't ramp up their oil production very quickly because it takes time and the infrastructure is not there. I get that, but there's an estimated 50 million barrels of oil that they have sitting offshore in tankers that's just waiting. They've been waiting for these sanctions to lift for some time, and so as they've produced more than 3 million barrels a day, they've just put it into tankers as kind of offshore storage. And as the sanctions come off, those ships are going to start sailing, and they're going to have a lot of money flowing in the door.
Sounds like nuclear winter 101 to me.
Well, Even if it's not a nuclear winter, even if, you know, God forbid, you know, a nuclear device is sent out there, I wouldn't want to see that happen. But even if that doesn't happen, the other ramifications of this deal are large enough and big enough to where I don't see it. And I'm hoping that envoys and ambassadors and negotiators who are much smarter than me, who have a lot more of the details in their hand, know why this is a good deal. But so far, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I think it's amazing to me when I hear our news press report this deal like it's the greatest thing since hotcakes for lumberjacks, you know? And I'm wondering, what planet are these people on? Because here you've got a country that, like you say, they chant, you know, death to America. They want to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. And yet we're turning around. And they still have Americans incarcerated there in their country, which was not even part of the deal to let go. And everybody thinks this is a great deal.
Yeah, and I know everybody doesn't think so, that's for sure. But it, as you said, it's certainly been portrayed that way in a lot of the media. But I think the Iranians have some of the same feeling. They look at us and, you know, we certainly sent out the Stuxnet code of software to infect all of their centrifuges, and we did a pretty good job with it. And I'm sure they're looking and saying, well, the Americans won't stop. And I hope we don't. I hope we're really good at continuing those sorts of things so that we can kind of gum up the works as much as possible.
Well, they're really lucky I'm not president for a day. I can tell you, the negotiation wouldn't be very long. It'd be very quick. But I think anytime you jeopardize your freedom and potential, put nuclear capabilities in the hands of maniacs, you're going to get exactly what you're asking for.
Yeah, and like I said, I don't see it so far. I really hope somebody smarter than me figured out why this was a good deal, but they haven't made a great case for it yet.
Well, before we let you go, Rodney, we'd be remiss not to ask you your perspective on what's happening in China. And we know that there's been, about a 30% correction in their market after a huge run-up of 130-some-odd percent the last few months, and now it's kind of bounced back. Is this a tremor of things to come with China?
You know, I think it is, Kevin. I look at this, and I want everyone to understand this is why the Chinese currency will not displace the dollar in the near future. And I know those things might seem a little bit disparate, but they're not. For the Chinese currency and the Chinese system to basically make it onto the international stage as a major player in currency reserve and foreign currency transactions and all sorts of other things, they have to have open markets that are transparent and easily traded. They do not. The way that they got their market to stop falling is, one, they threatened anybody who sold short were going to jail, and they said, we're going to prosecute malicious short sellers. But they didn't say who was going to be, you know, considered malicious. They'll tell you that after they arrest you. And the other thing they did is they halted the trading in many stocks. They still have over 1,000 stocks that are not allowed to trade because they were falling too far too fast. And so if you stop the halt by not letting them trade, and so you're only trading the stocks that seem to go up a little bit, and you're still down 23% over the past, you know, couple of weeks, you've got a problem. And that doesn't give people a lot of confidence to come into your markets with new capital. And so the Chinese still have some issues. They're going through growing pains. Yes, they're on the world market, as they should be, because they're the second largest economy on the planet. But they're not developed enough in their capital markets to even come close to threatening the U.S. dollar. It's just not going to happen. So I think this is definitely a precursor, a foreshadowing of more problems to come.
Well, it's very funny, Ronnie, because I've heard Harry a couple times on some national networks, and I won't say the names, but we all know who they are, where he would talk about the fact that China is not the panacea to the world of investing, and he would be chastised for saying that after he left the air. Sometimes they would confront him, sometimes they wouldn't, but the reality is, you guys have been exactly right about the Chinese economy.
Well, and it wasn't anything magical to see either, Chuck. That's what surprises us so much when people talk about it. It's like, well, would you take all of your money and go buy Chinese currency and just hope they treat you right down the road? I mean, I don't know anybody who thinks that's a really good idea. And yet they talk about it as if all these other nations and all these other companies are going to do just that. And so we'll see. The Chinese are growing. As I said, they are the second largest economy on the planet. They deserve to have, you know, some say on the world stage, but they are not yet a fully developed nation.
Well, there's no question in my mind. Again, it just proves that the news media hasn't got a clue on reality. they continuously totally go against the obvious, which is amazing to me. But there again, that's why we have people in the world, right? Listen,
there you
Harry,
go.
Harry, Rodney, thank you very much. I'm looking forward to seeing you guys in September. And thank you very much for joining us this morning. I was hoping to get somebody to give us a call and ask you a question from the public, but I think they're too afraid. I think you just intimidate them.
Hopefully they're just listening and they're enthralled with the answer, so they didn't have to call because we were answering all their questions.
Well, it would have to be that. Absolutely. Listen, Rodney, thank you very much. I'll see you in B.C.
Thank
in September. Thank you. You bet. We're going to take a quick break and come right back with Investing Simplified. If you got a question, pick up that phone. Give us a call, 503-417-7626. Toll free, 800-990-0750. This is where you get the latest on the economy. We'll be right back.
When your legal rights and responsibilities are involved, you need attorneys you can trust. The attorneys at the Warren Allen Law Firm offer you solid legal advice and exceptional service. We practice in nearly all areas of law. We can help you with your legal needs, including wills, trusts, probate, contracts, real estate, construction, landlord rights, business, personal injury, divorce, bankruptcy, and civil litigation. The Warren Allen Law Firm has represented individuals and businesses for over three decades, and its nine attorneys have more than 200 years of combined experience practicing law. By combining experience and knowledge with individualized attention and prompt service, Warren Allen is the law firm to rely on when you are in need of legal representation. We are conveniently located at 850 Northeast 122nd Avenue near the I-205 and I-84 interchange. I'm Carl Jepson, partner with the Warren Allen Law Firm, and I invite you to contact us at 503-255-8795 or on the web at warrenallen.com.
How often do you have a checkup? Annually? Only when you're not feeling your best? Or are you one who waits until there is an emergency condition? High blood pressure, rapid pulse, or sleepless nights could be the result of your investment portfolio or no estate plan. But there is a specialist ready to offer you a checkup on your financial health.
Hey, Gene, Dr. Price. Hey, Gene, Dr. Price.
Chuck Price, the financial doctor and author of Investing Simplified, is offering you a free financial checkup. Whether you're asking for a second opinion, a complete financial physical, or investment stress test, Chuck Price, the financial doctor, can help diagnose your money ailments and prescribe a prudent path towards healthy investments and peace of mind. Call 503-253-3000 to schedule your financial checkup or on the web at pfgwm.com. That's pfgwm.com. You'll feel better.
Let's face it, the rules of retirement have changed. What we were told to do just a few years ago now seems like a pipe dream. Hi, this is Michael Burnett for Chuck Price, owner of Price Financial Group Wealth Management. You know the drill. Be a loyal employee. You'll get a pension. Your home will be worth 10 to 20 times what you paid for it when you retire. So how's that working for you? Call Chuck Price right now. He's located right here in Portland. Featured expert on Investing Simplified on AM 970. Chuck specializes in working with people who are either retired or close to retiring, and he focuses on protection of principal and tax strategies to minimize your taxes. Call right now and get Chuck's retirement report. It's packed full of information on generating more income during retirement, how to leave more to your heirs, and so much more. 503-253-3000. Chuck Price, Price Financial Group Wealth Management, on the web at pfgwm.com.
Got a legal question? Coming up is Carl Jepson, estate planning attorney and partner of the Warren Allen Law Firm, with Carl's comments. You can call Carl at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. Here's Carl Jepson.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified. It's always very difficult to follow Rodney Johnson or Harry Dent. But it's also very interesting to hear their perspective and how, you know, thoroughly they look at things across the world and how the demographics of those sorts of things impact the rest of us. But anyway, mine is my comments really are going to be kind of localized. And mostly we were talking last week a little bit about the ways to minimize or avoid estate taxes. And so I just kind of wanted to follow that up just a little bit. And essentially last week, if you'll recall, I said that you know, really, if your estate is under $1 million in Oregon, you don't have to worry about it. So one of the ways that is a very common way is that people make gifts. They give away stuff, you know, if they can afford it. And as we talked before, if there's a married couple, they can preserve $2 million tax-free, inheritance tax-free. So it seems to me that you know, a lot of people, you know, if they are getting up there to that point where the inheritance tax is going to be a problem, it might behoove them to make some gifts, whether it be charitable gifts or just gifts to their kids. And there's a lot of room for gifts because Oregon doesn't have a gift tax, and you have $5.43 million worth or $10.86 million worth to play with as a couple under federal law. So you have you have that big difference that you can give away without having any real problem with it. So, you know, as long as you're comfortable with that, obviously there are many people who don't feel comfortable with making gifts or don't want to make gifts to their kids. But certainly if you want to make gifts, but you don't want to make them to your kids, you can find some very, you know, worthy person or cause or something to do that with. Of course, the other way is to spend your money. You can just spend it on, but if you spend it on assets, then you're not helping yourself because, you know, if you buy a bunch of stuff that you have when you die, well, that's going to be figured into your estate plan.
Well, you know, Carl, I didn't mean to
interrupt you,
but you know, one of the things you bring up there is really true, and it's so often you and I encounter all the time with our clients is they've created all this wealth and they have their kids. And they don't want to share with their kids what they have, and they have this fear of running out of money, even though they probably are not going to run out of money. But they have that fear ingrained in them because of the Great Depression their parents went through. And it's a very, very hard thing, as you and I know, to get people to act and do that and give those funds away because they feel like they may need them.
Well, and the same thing occurs there's kind of the same sort of thing is for the same reasons they don't want to spend any money on themselves. They don't want to take the trips. They don't want to, and you know, of course, a lot of people when they get older, their tastes and their desires, you know, they don't want to do stuff that they wouldn't, you know, they're not going to do the bungee jumping anymore or anything, you know, or well, you know, whatever. But a lot of things, you know, they don't really want to spend the money, and so they kind of sit there with it anyway. Which is fine, I guess, but if they're worried about paying taxes on it, then or having their kids pay taxes on it, well, you know, gee whiz, if you can make some nice gifts to people, or you know, there are a lot of charities and things, a lot of worthy causes that need that sort of thing, and you know, it might be useful to come into somebody like you and make some calculation based on the worst case scenario. Okay, so if we both ended up in a nursing home, you know, for now until how long would our money last? You know, and you could kind of measure it that way, I suppose, to some extent.
The best estate situations that I see across the board are where you have a child or children that you can trust, and mm-hmm. that's obviously a non-monetary thing. But if you have that going for you, you're in a lot better situation.
Yeah, and then it's getting the parent to accept that. And work with that because that's a hard thing. It is a very hard thing.
I mean, I very much respect the view that the folks have when they feel very uncomfortable and very reluctant to do those kinds of things because they have personal experience with or certainly you know, new people who had personal experience with great economic hardship when it was, you know, universal in the society, not just some people. And so, yeah, I can understand that. So that's kind of one thing, though, is just, you know, so you can spend your money, you can give it away. And then the other thing, you can take advantage of the planning devices that we've talked about. For example, you can use the marital deduction. A married person can transfer as much as they want to their spouse without any tax consequence, at least immediate tax consequence. And then there's the exemption amount, the $2 million under Oregon law for a couple, $1 million for an individual. and those kinds of things, you know, are basically the basic tools that allow you to, you know, to use those things. You can do some charitable things. You can do charitable trusts that allow you to, if you want income to yourself or maybe to your kids, you can do a charitable remainder type trust or an annuity trust that gets you give away usually an appreciated asset to a charity. They essentially then create an annuity that pays back money over a period of years or even a lifetime, depending on, you know, all of the factors and the figures. And that's a nice thing to do because you've just benefited the charity and yet you've provided an income to, you know, your kids or yourself.
Carl, in order to take advantage of the marital deduction, you have to do it, don't you, before one of the people dies?
You have to be both alive.
Yeah,
it doesn't
yeah.
work after the fact. That's
yeah,
right.
Because one of the problems we have is getting people to get a living trust set up to take advantage of the marital deduction. And if you don't do it before, you can't go back and do over.
Yeah, and not only that's the same with the exemption amounts. If you're going to use the two exemptions for a couple, you got to make your plan while both are alive and competent. Although there are some of us that are considered incompetent any time, but, you know.
This is why we try to constantly push people to get things done, to get them done while you are competent, while you are able to make decisions, and get it done while you're both able. Because once one of you is not able, that's it. You can't go back and do it.
You know, it's funny. One of the things that happens a lot, and I feel bad, but you know, it's just the way the law works. I get a lot of people who say, well, you know, my mom, you know, has Alzheimer's now, and you know, she's really not able to manage her own affairs, so we want a power of attorney to help her. And I'm going, well, wait a minute, you kind of got that wrong, because if she can't manage her own affairs, that means she's not competent enough to sign a power of attorney to give you authority. So, you know, I mean, and if that happens, you know, now I suppose there are some, you know, you can, you know, go to the bookstore and get one, but I think you're asking for trouble doing that. You know, get a printed form, which then you take it down to the bank and they won't accept it anyway. So, you know, you've got that problem. Interestingly enough, I talked to a lawyer in Maryland. And we were talking about the same problem because we were trying to figure out how to do a certain thing for this probate that was taking place in Maryland, and they actually have, and this is I think it's a great idea. They have developed a statutory form of general power of attorney, and basically, what happens? They had the same problems that the banks were worried about having using this form because they didn't, you know, they weren't comfortable. It didn't look like the one that they had at the bank. And so now he says that basically that they've done this statutory form, that if you use the statutory form, most of the financial institutions will say, okay, that's fine. We'll use it. And we'll honor that. And I would think that might be something worth our legislature taking a look at, because it's a real problem, just the lack of uniformity as far as, you know, how that works. And, you know, we have essentially a statutory form of healthcare power of attorney here in Oregon called the Advance Directive. It comes right out of the statute, and nobody ever questions it. So maybe the same thing would work for the durable power of attorney. It could be some mischief in that, too, though. Always there is. But anyway, that's Carl's comments for today.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with the tax investigator. You're listening to Investing Simplified. If you've got a question, pick up that phone and give us a quick call. 503-417-7626. Toll free, 800-990-0750. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Coulson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Coulson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We're located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercoulson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercoulson.com 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Coulson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
How often do you have a checkup? Annually? Only when you're not feeling your best? Or are you one who waits until there is an emergency condition? High blood pressure, rapid pulse, or sleepless nights could be the result of your investment portfolio or no estate plan. But there is a specialist ready to offer you a checkup on your financial health.
Paging Dr. Price. Paging Dr. Price.
Chuck Price, the financial doctor and author of Investing Simplified, is offering you a free financial checkup. Whether you're asking for a second opinion, a complete financial physical, or investment stress test, Chuck Price, the financial doctor, can help diagnose your money ailments and prescribe a prudent path towards healthy investments and peace of mind. Call 503-253-3000 to schedule your financial checkup or on the web at pfgwm.com. That's pfgwm.com. You'll feel better.
We do investing simplified.
Hi, everybody. Chuck Price, the financial doctor here. If you're between ages 58 and 68, choosing Social Security benefits at the right time is one of the biggest financial decisions you'll ever make. You get one chance to get it right. After 12 months, there are no do-overs. 74% of Americans receive reduced benefits. Get your free report on 44 Social Security secrets at pfgwm.com. Social Security is often one of the largest and most mismanaged assets in your retirement income plan. Claiming benefits sounds easy. So is leaving up to $250,000 of your money with the government, or reducing your benefits up to 76% over your life expectancy. For this vital information, go online to pfgwm.com or call 503-253-3000.
We do investing simplified.
Do you have a tax question? Here's your opportunity to ask the tax investigator, Kevin Stege, CPA and partner of the Baker Coulson CPA firm. You can call Kevin at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. Now here's the CPA with the tax answers, CPA Kevin Stege.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified, and we'll get right into the tax investigator. I think next week we will continue our segment from last week that Carl and I had, and we will finish off, or at least continue on, what you have to do to prepare an Oregon 706. We really only got through the listing of assets, yes, the inventory, the value, and how to document those. There's still a number of things to do, and I don't think we'll touch on that today, since we have a little bit of limited time, and with Rodney being on, and Carl always having a scintillating spot that keeps our attention. So, today, I thought
you know lawyers are known to be interesting. You know,
interesting.
Yeah,
yes.
Well, you know,
the most interesting lawyer in the world. So, well, today, I noticed one thing in the news that I think is of note, is that for charities, the web domains, the internet domains, have typically ended in .org, O-R-G. Well, they're not. Just about any organization can use that, such as Craigslist.org. They didn't want to be known as a business for some reason or another, so they're a .org. So you've got a lot of different companies and different organizations that use the .org, but there's going to be a new internet domain strictly for charities that are active, independent, non-political, nonprofits that meet eligibility requirements. And I don't know what that's going to entail, but the new domain is going to be, and I don't know what they stand for at this point, but .ngo, as in Nancy, George, Oscar, and also .ong, as in Oscar, Nancy, George. Hmm. So at least you'll have a little bit more comfort knowing that you're at the right website, or a true certified nonprofit. Hmm. So that's something to take note. Now, this next part, it's going to be a two-part question, and I'm asking you, where do you stand? So where do you stand? Maybe we should start a new segment on
this.
Are
you asking us this question?
Not necessarily you guys, but the listeners, rhetorically.
Okay, okay.
Just kind of step back and get in that happy place and kind of see where you stand. 401k participants.
You must have been going to Washington or something.
That's right. 401k participants. How many Americans fail to utilize their employer's full match? So in other words, you know, you can contribute up to 6% of your income and the employer will match X, you know, a dollar per dollar or 75 cents per dollar. They have different employers, they have different amounts. But how many fail to utilize the full match? 25%.
25%.
And that's too much. This is free money. Yeah. I'm not always a huge fan of deferring. There's definitely a time and place, and if it's your high income years, definitely do it. But when you're getting free money, do the 6% to start. That's better than any savings you get at any bank, money market, so on and so forth. Secondly, where do you stand? A majority of Americans aren't waiting until full retirement age to take their Social Security. 73% are receiving reduced benefits. In other words, you're taking it between age 62 before you hit your full.
They're leaving a lot of money on the table.
Yeah. And, you know, and to some, that's the way they have to transition into retirement.
You know, Kevin, I sat down with a new client the other day and came in, and they've been in a couple of times, and we did a Social Security analysis on them, and we showed them how to make an additional $140,000 over their lifetime by deferring, waiting to take it, because they didn't need the income. And that's the key. If you saved and you didn't need the income, or you're still able to work, and you can defer that 62 to 66 is growing at 6% a year, and from 66 to 70 is growing at 8% a year. And I'd like to know where you get those kind of rates right now. Nowhere.
Yeah.
No. I mean, it's a guaranteed return. It's a slam dunk. Hey, I need to be shameless here and do a little public announcement. The three of us are doing a presentation at the Princeton Village Assisted Living Facility at 14370 Southeast Oregon Trail Drive, Clackamas, Oregon. There's going to be refreshments. If you want to reserve a spot, it's $10, and the whole $10 goes to Alzheimer's. And also, you can call 503-558-1215. We're going to do the presentation. I'm also going to bring my book, and I'm going to sell my book there for $10. And every book I sell at this, I'm going to give $1 to the Wounded Warrior Project, and the other $9 I'm going to give to Alzheimer's.
So when is this?
This is going to be July 24th. 5:30 to 7:30 at the Princeton Village Assistant Living, 14370 Southeast Oregon Trail. And I think they've got somewhere around 100 people set up for it, and they got a room for up to 150. So I asked her if it was okay to announce it on a radio show. She said, absolutely. So if you're out in the Clackamas area and you want an evening where you can hear some financial information and some estate planning information, some tax information, we're going to be presenting out there for about an hour or so, and we'll have question and answers, and you can actually ask questions for free. It's a good deal. But there is a cost to do it, $10, because they're going to have goodies and hors d'oeuvres and refreshments and stuff. But the $10 to get in is going to go all to 100% to Alzheimer's, which is something that everybody, as we get older, you can face, some sooner than others.
That's right. Well, if there's something we talked about that you still have a question on and you want to reach us, or particularly on taxes, if you want to reach me, you can contact me at 503-666-5569. That's my work number. And we are at baker-colson.com, where you can get information about our firm, about what we do, and my email address.
I can be reached at 503-255-8795 and at warrenallen.com.
And you can reach me at PFGWM or AskTheFinancialDoctor.com. Also, I have a new site I opened up called ChuckPriceFreeBooks.com. If you go there, there are some books provided by Rocky DeFrancisco, who happens to be a fellow attorney. But he is there, and he offers his free books on that site, chuckpricefreebooks.com, and you can get that book emailed to you. And you can reach me at 503-253-3000 or 877-50-PRICE. And make sure you dial the right prefix, because you could get the prices right and you could get something else. But always dial 877-50-PRICE. Thank you very much, and we'll be back next week. Have a great week.
Price Financial Group, wealth management. Price Financial Group, wealth management. We do investing simplified.